We're running out of space in our cities, it seems. We've discussed this on the show lots of times before. Our urban designers and architects are forever coming up with plans to better maximise space, to make sure that the built environment is thoughtfully and efficiently constructed as possible. But it's a tricky thing, especially when, in Australia, about 90% of the building stock that we're going to have in 2050 is already built. This week, Melbourne City Council released a map suggesting vast untapped potential in the rooftops of the city, spaces that, with a bit of thought, could be a major resource in the fight to green our cities. Sarah Wilkinson is an associate professor at the University of Technology, Sydney, where she's been researching sustainability and adaptation in our cities. Sarah, how does the report released in Melbourne this week compare to other Australian cities? Are we missing this opportunity all around the place to green our rooftops?
Well, there certainly is a lot of opportunity to retrofit our buildings with green roofs and also green walls. There was a study done in Sydney by Paul Osmond at UNSW, and he estimated about 15% of the CBD office roofs could be retrofitted. That was a similar figure that I came up with when I looked at the Melbourne CBD in 2009. So, yes, there's lots of opportunity.
Retrofitting, obviously, is often a complicated thing or has many complications attached. Before we get to that, what are some of the advantages of green roofs? Why is this a direction worth putting time and energy into?
Well, and there are lots of benefits. You've got improvements to air quality because the plants photosynthesize and give off oxygen. You've got increased biodiversity. The plants attract bugs and insects and species back into the urban environment. On a large scale, you can make improvements to urban heat island effect, where the inner cities tend to be a few degrees hotter. Some studies have modelled that you can diminish that by 1 or 2 degrees. You've got thermal improvements. Where you've got a large roof area and you retrofit a green roof, you can reduce your energy bills and your CO2 emissions. And then also you've got stormwater attenuation. So where you're getting flash flooding, you can slow down the amount of water going into your underground drainage systems, delay the flooding or even stop it.
Sarah, I like that there are more good reasons for this than you can count on the fingers of one hand. Are there countries that are particularly good at this? Who's leading the way when it comes to green roofs and green walls?
Well, it's interesting because you've got countries sort of like Canada, Toronto, they've mandated green roofs where roofs meet certain criteria in terms of area and flatness. Also in Basel in Switzerland, they've also mandated, and a number of German cities have gone down that route. And for various reasons, for some it's sort of thermal, for others it might be biodiversity is the driver. But across a whole range of different climates and geographies, a number of cities are deciding this is a good thing to do.
That question of climate and geography is an interesting one. I mean, how much does it rely on a particular kind of conditions to make a city well suited to this?
Well, that's the good thing in that it will suit most climates and most cities for different reasons. So you would have green roofs in Darwin for a very different reason than you'd have them in Adelaide or Perth or Melbourne or Sydney.
Accidental mould, I would have thought.
Well, mould is another thing, which is another project that I'm looking into, but that's a whole different ballgame. But, yeah, I mean, perhaps with Darwin, where you've got a lot of rain, it might take some of that flash flooding off the streets, attenuate it a little bit. It depends on the scale that you're doing it.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's worth doing. It's a good thing. The benefits are many and varied. But how do you make it happen? Are there places where it's mandated, where to build a new building you have to make sure that you're thinking about green roof or at least sustainability options in the way the roof is used?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there are two different approaches. You can mandate or you can try and incentivise. So where you mandate is where you set a building code or a regulation or a planning law that says when you meet certain criteria, it has to be a green roof. Or incentivising the market is another way. So you try and encourage owners, developers to implement green roof technology. So you might do that through having a rating system like the Green Star in the office market. So you get an extra point.
I know the response in Melbourne by Melbourne's Lord Mayor Robert Doyle to that report this week was to say that he wasn't in favour of mandating them, but he might give planning concessions to developers who use them. Do you think that using the carrot rather than the stick is a good idea, or do you think we need to be a little more forceful?
I think there's room for both, probably, and the jury's out yet whether the carrot or the stick is working best. There are a number of studies looking into that, but I know there would be a number of developers that would look very closely at what the mayor has put on the table there, because if they can get extra floor space into their property, it's going to increase the value of their property. It will give it a greater rental value, income, and so they can offset that with the costs of installing the green roof.
So that pertains largely to new developments, but as I mentioned, the figure I read was around 90% of building stock will have in 2050 has already been built. So talk to me about the retrofitting process. What are the biggest kind of difficulties in effectively retrofitting a city?
Well, when you're retrofitting an existing building for a green roof, you need to look at things like overshadowing and orientation. How much sun does it get? You need to look at the structural capacity of the existing building and the type of green roof you can retrofit. And fortunately, you can install very lightweight systems, or where the roof allows it, you can go for sort of deeper substrates, which probably have more stormwater attenuation qualities. You need to look at things like access. If it's a roof that you want people to go up on, then you need to look at health and safety around the parapets and the perimeter of the roof. You need to look at things like the existing plant on the roof. A lot of the times they'll locate the exhausts for the air conditioning, and you've got plant machinery, the lift rooms up there, so you need to see how much free space you've actually got up on your roof. So that's just a number of sort of things you need to take into account.
We've talked a bit about green walls on the show before from a gardening perspective, and one of the things is to do with kind of sustainability and water usage and how complicated getting it to work well is. Is there good best practice for people to follow when they're trying to break into this area?
Absolutely. The City of Sydney, for example, they have a green roof and green wall guide and policy, which you can download. The City of Melbourne also has one too. The RICS, which is the professional body that I belong to, we're just in the process of publishing a global best practice guidance note to green roofs and green walls that practitioners can look at. And I think that's going to be another positive thing in promoting green roofs, because the professionals now have a guide to go to that kind of reassures them that they're asking all the right questions, reduces the risk they're taking in doing something that they perhaps haven't done before. So yeah, there are a number of guides and helps out there that people can go and have a look at.
So I've got to ask, do you have particular examples, green roofs that you think get it right, that you love, either in Australia or elsewhere in the world when you've looked at this?
Well, I really like the food-producing green roofs, and I think that's a whole new area that hopefully will expand over time. So food-producing green roofs. We've got a little one down in the Cross in Sydney that is maintained by refugees, and that's a great little roof. So the one on CH2 in Melbourne is also a nice roof. There's a pop-up rooftop garden at Federation Square down in Melbourne as well. So
it seems to me, Sarah, you're being a bit greedy there. You're looking for the ones that have other functions when they're already... the urban heat island is reason enough. But you want to be
That's
able
right.
to eat it.
But hey, if you can make your dinner up there too, why not?
Yeah, may as well tick as many boxes as you possibly can. And as far as retrofitting goes, are there particular styles of building that are better suited to this? I imagine mostly what we're talking about is the kind of office block in most of our capital cities, CBDs. This is a big city initiative rather than something that would work in small towns?
Well, I think if you've got a flat roof, then it could be residential buildings sometimes have flat roofs. Some retail buildings have flat roofs. So really anywhere you've got a flat roof, there's potential to retrofit it.
It's always a relief to hear that the sky is no longer the limit, and that's no exception there. So many thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sarah Wilkinson is an associate professor at the School of the Built Environment at the University of Technology, Sydney.